Hey y'all, we're going to continue Jesus' farewell discourse in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Again, this is Jesus' farewell discourse before he both goes to death and then ascends to the Father. It's a farewell in both senses because Jesus knows he's going to be taken from them by the cross, but also that he is going to ascend to the Father after the resurrection. And remember also that just before this, Jesus has told Peter, look, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And so it's in this context that he says, don't be troubled. They are getting ready to lose Jesus. And if you think about any person in your life that is precious to you and what it felt like for their death perhaps to be approaching, you get close to what the disciples must have felt. They had been with him 3 years and they had felt the bewildering hope and joy of his presence, and they maybe couldn't articulate everything that Jesus was, but it brought great joy, and now they're hearing that he's leaving. And so Jesus is speaking in this section to the sadness and the trouble in their hearts that they feel because he is leaving. And he says he's going to the Father's house to prepare a place. This is many things, but what I would suggest is that what we all experience when we think of home, the best things that we experience when we think of home, that is what being in God's presence is. It is the home that our hearts long for. It is the home that Jesus longed for as he sojourned in the world away from the Father's presence. And he says, guys, there's so much room there, and there's so much room for so many different kinds. We need to see that one of the great characteristics of God's heart, of the Father's heart, is hospitality. This is why leaders in the church are required to be hospitable. I've always said that this is not about, you know, cakes and cookies and dessert and drinks, but this is about a desire to have people with you, a welcome to people. And so Jesus has come issuing the Father's invitation, and now he's going, he says, to the Father's house, to prepare lots of room for lots of different people of lots of different kinds, but particularly these disciples. He says, guys, I'm going to make a room for you. I've made reservations, and I'm going to get it all ready. And then he says, I will come to you again. And I want to stress this because I think that Jesus is speaking on several levels, as he always does. I do believe that when he says, I will come to you again, and bring you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He is speaking about his final coming at the fulfillment of history, at the culmination of history, when he gathers all that are his to himself. I do think he means that. But I also think he means every way in which he has come since his ascension to the Father's right hand. The scripture says that Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out. And every way in which Jesus comes and brings us to himself, whether it's at the communion table or whether it's when we gather in prayer together or when we receive the presence of the Lord Himself in a brother or a sister. Those are also significant ways in which He comes to us and brings us to Himself. He does that by the Holy Spirit, and ever since His ascension, He has been coming in this way to His people. So yes, there will be a final coming, but we need to look for His coming all the time and everywhere as He comes and brings us to Himself in the Father's presence. And then, of course, we have Thomas and Philip's sort of bewildered questions. I remember before this, Peter was, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to lay down my life for you. He had some misunderstandings. And now Thomas and Philip do. Thomas says, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So we don't know how to get there. And in response to this, Jesus says, well, guys, let me say it again. I'm going to the Father's house. I'm going to God, my Father, and your Father. And as for how to get there, well, I'm how to get there. And that's what He means by being the way. Remember in the beginning of the gospel, He said that you shall see the Son of Man ascending and descending, or you shall see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It was a reference to Jacob's ladder or Jacob's staircase, that vision that Jacob had of the connection point between heaven and earth. Jesus is that connection point. He is the way we get to where our hearts long to be, which is at home with the Father and the Creator of all. You know, in the days of exploration in North America, everybody was looking for the Northwest Passage, right? They were looking for some way to try to sail past North America to get to the Indies. It's as if Jesus is, you know, they were looking for that connection point. Jesus is saying, I am the connection point to home. I am the connection point. I am the way you get through to that place. You want to be home. I am the way you get there. And finally, Philip says, show us the Father. That'll be enough. It's as if he's saying, all right, Lord, just give us some proof here. Give us some revelation. And it's significant because Jesus says, I have been showing you the Father. Everything I've said and done since I've been with you, Philip, has been showing you the Father. Giving wine at a modest wedding to celebrate and point to the wedding feast to come, that was something my Father who dwells in me was doing through me. That's showing you the Father. Giving living water to a woman who had gone through vessel after vessel to try to find satisfaction. That was me showing you the Father. Giving sight to a man blind since birth, that was me showing you the Father. Again, Jesus is bringing them back to this fact that they don't need a greater revelation than what they have been given in Jesus. He is the perfect revelation of the Father. He is the perfect picture of the Father. And everything He does, especially in His cross, is a revelation of the Father's heart. And so He's trying to bring them back to this. And the language here, it sort of gets beyond our capacity to comprehend, because He says, the Father dwells in me, and I dwell in the Father. This mystery of mutual indwelling. We have to keep track of this and try to grasp it with the help of the Holy Spirit, because it is the mystery into which we are invited. When Jesus says, I will dwell in you, and you will dwell in me, and my Father will dwell in me. All of this is coming in this final discourse. So my encouragement is, as you read these passages, to slow down and really ask for the Holy Spirit to help. One last thought. I want to highlight Thomas and Philip's questions. Some of the most important things Jesus has to say to us come in response to their questions. And I'm sure that some of the disciples might have been thinking while Jesus was talking, I don't know where he's going, but it was Thomas and Philip who said, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. I guess what I want to encourage us in is there are no dumb questions. We come to learn some of the most profoundest things about the Father and the Son because of the dumb questions of these two disciples. And I want to encourage us that very often we're thinking, well, I hope everybody else knows what's going on because I don't know what's going on. And we should be encouraged that we learn the most often in life by asking dumb questions or making dumb statements and trusting that Jesus, the way, will bring us along further because he is the truth and he will help us understand and he will help us see. So may we have a longing for our heart's home in the Father, and may we walk along the path who is Jesus as we come to the Father, and may we come to see who Jesus is and see that he is giving us the perfect revelation of the Father's heart. Amen.